17 to go till 5 o'clock here on Downtown. It's time for this week's Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in Bangor. Eric Mahan is with us in studio. I don't want to imply that the better show is the one you don't hear, but there are times when we have some interesting conversations during the breaks.
I think that's true. I think that the greatest travesty in the world is all the unseen, unheard radio snippets that go untracked. And to their credit, you know, there are some shows now that are literally like running like the best of the stuff you don't hear.
Well, we used to, years ago now, we used to do a live video stream.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Now, fortunately, nobody watched it.
Yeah.
Which was good. And it was just,
I think
it was
you'd
on
be
the
surprised.
Internet.
Well, yeah. I don't know. You'd be surprised. People watch things.
Because I don't even think of those things. You broadcasting football.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes they will take our dirty feed, just the raw feed from the booth, and send it along to the internet, where people are watching the game with streaming audio. And I always have to remind myself that's happening. And yeah. Not because...
Turn off the mic.
Well, it's mostly just goofiness. You know, we have a tendency to like sing during commercial breaks.
Oh, there you go.
Nobody wants to hear that.
Well, that's, you know, that's when you call attention to the guy picking his nose on the sideline, right. And all of a sudden it turns into a national controversy about how that disrespects the flag or something. It's like, dude was just picking his nose. I thought it was funny. I don't know.
That's it, yeah.
But no, absolutely. I can't imagine what happened to the first radio personalities that they were like, we're gonna put you on TV. Is that cool with you? And they must have looked up from their donut covered, you know, maws gaping with, you know, coffee and like, you know, unwashed T-shirts. Like, you're gonna what?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. But we're gonna pay you $20 million a year to do it. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh. I understand now. I can buy new donuts
right.
for the ones I'm going to throw away.
I'll buy a clean shirt.
The price tag for putting the live feed back up in this studio is a lot lower.
It's lower than $20 million. We'll see if we can drum up some sponsors.
That out there.
Was there a live feed in here?
No.
But perhaps in the future. I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean,
we'll bring it back.
Yeah.
If there's anyone interested in seeing Carrie,
sipping water and smiling when the wine shows up.
Yeah, I mean, it's less exciting than you might think, but it's still pretty funny. Cool. Well, as people will remember, last week, we're jumping into Italy this month, but last week we hit the Veneto region and sort of the eastern swath because we needed some Prosecco to celebrate Rich.
Thank you.
And and honestly, Rich is better half.
Yes.
Is really what we're celebrating. But today we're going to go back to where I normally start my education, kind of find it more accessible to the motherland of wine and somewhere we've already talked about, which is France. So the gateway to Italy from the northwest is a region called Piedmont. Of course, you've got the Alps, which are just completely breathtaking and completely inaccessible for any sort of, you know, massive human movement. So you do have, like, up in the Val d'Aosta, where, if anybody remembers, like, the Turin Olympics and everything like that, absolutely breathtaking views. And you do even have some vineyards. I mean, basically anywhere you have humans, you have people trying to make booze, let's be honest. But it's the winemaking up there is literally some of the highest vineyards in the world. Basically very racy whites is really all you see up there. But down in Piedmont, which is a much more sort of fertile, I don't want to say New England, but very mid-Atlantic sort of feel to it. And of course, right now is prime truffle season. That's their other big big product that they make in Piedmont. They make, the earth makes in Piedmont. And so it's that very sort of, you know, my image of Piedmont is always sort of damp, earthy smell, foresty and hilly, and it's really beautiful, and it's quite varied in terms of the wines that come from there. A lot of favorites for Americans, and so we're going to touch on some of them today, and then enjoy one of the whites that I think Americans should be getting a little more comfortable with to finish up. So first and foremost, I find the entryway to wine in general is sort of sweeter wines, be it a Jammies Infandel or a sweeter local wine or things like that. So one of the obvious things from Piedmont that Americans have gotten to know and love is Moscato d'Asti, right? Mm. Moscato from the town of Asti, which is one of the main wine producing towns in Piedmont. A lot of you probably know it as Asti Spumante, brought in sort of in large mass produced quantities by folks back in the 80s. But essentially, Spumante is the Italian term for frothy, residual sugary Moscato, essentially, as opposed to something like Champagne or Prosecco, which is much more dry, although some Proseccos can be made Spumantizzato as well. And the other wine that I just want to talk about really quick in relation to Moscato that people don't know quite as well is its sort of red brother, which is Brachetto d'Aqui. For anybody who's ever had things like Roscato or things like that at Olive Garden, for instance, that's sort of a pale imitation of some of the better ones. But Brachetto and Moscato can both be very, very elegant, rich, and very enjoyable. Some people drink them by the bottle, like other people drink table wine. I can't really do that just because of the level of sweetness, but they really are wonderful sort of either aperitifs or dessert wines. Getting to the dry wines of Piedmont, the whites, including what we're going to drink today, there are two really important white wines out of Piedmont, and they're both relatively unknown. One of them was absolutely going out of fashion and going extinct until about 40 years ago when two important winemaking families started to bring it back. That is the grape Arnais. We've tried that on air before. Arnais is a really, really nice wine if you like Pinot Grigio with some cojones. It's very aromatic. It's wonderful. It's nice acidity. It's got sort of yellow, peachy, pear qualities to it. But it's also got a little bit of a rustic edge to it, even in the finer styles. And I absolutely love it. It just goes great with so many foods. So that's Arnais, A-R-N-E-I-S, Arnais. And the other wine, and we're going to be drinking one of these today. Well, the grape is Cortese, C-O-R-T-E-S-E. And you will find bottlings of Cortese, but the more famous iteration of Cortese is Gavi. And Gavi is somewhat known. I know the Luna de Luna brand of Gavi was kind of popular back when I started in the wine business back in the late 90s, early 2000s. And that kind of brought it to the fore. But really good Gavi is absolutely excellent. It can range in style from sort of medium-bodied and crisper, more like a Chablis, to the wine we have today, which is from Fontana Freda, which, and this is why I think more Americans should kind of get to know it, it's very voluptuous in the way that better Chardonnays are. It offers a lot of the same sort of fruit qualities, but it's not because of oak. It's because of the fruit itself. It's really sort of an unctuous, wonderful wine that coats your palate and is wonderful with, I mean, certainly at this time of year, everybody and their mother's eating lobster like it's going out of style, and I'm jealous of every one of you. Because my wife is deathly allergic to shellfish, so I have to really sort of not hide my lobster intake, but time it specifically so that I don't kill off any loved ones.
You're very considerate.
It's what I can do, you know. But try, if you're having, especially like it has almost a slight smoky quality, this wine does. And if you do like a wood-fired lobster or something like that with a little smokiness there, and this wine, you're welcome. Is all I can tell you. But of course, Piedmont, with the time I have left, I have to address the red varietals, right? Because, and especially speaking of the truffles we had earlier, although this Gavi would go very nicely with a white truffle as well. But Piedmont is definitely most famous for its red wines. Of course, the grape Barbera, which has grown to great success in both around the town of Alba as well as Asti, and then Dolcetto, which is an earlier ripening kind of finicky grape, but also grown in both Alba and Asti, as well as other regions around there. Both wonderful, reasonably priced wines. Barbera can be a sort of a very juicy and satisfying wine to have stuff off the grill. Dolcetto, especially from places like Dogliani, which is D-O-G-L-I-A-N-A-I, Dogliani, not Dogliani, but it looks like Dogliani, Dogliani. Dolcetto di Dogliani is absolutely one of the most beautiful minerally red wines that you'll ever have in your life. And that goes great with things like fowl, like, you know, roast duck, things like that. So Barbera, Dolcetto, grapes that if you see them and you're curious, they're very affordable. Try them. Even in their better versions, their better iterations only go up to the mid-20s at this point, really, except, you know, for some random, you know, super site-specific iterations. But the king of Piedmont, right, is Nebbiolo. Nebbiolo, you might not recognize the grape name, but you'll definitely recognize Barolo and Barbaresco. Those are not the only two great iterations of the Nebbiolo grape, but they are certainly the most famous, and two of the big B's from Italy, right? The other being Brunello, which is from Tuscany, has nothing to do with this conversation whatsoever. So the next time you tell me that you want a, you know, a Barolo or Brunello and seem to think that I'm going to equate those two, I'm not going to. We'll have to have a little discussion. Barolos, Barbarescos, and also Gattinaras, wonderful things. It's also, by the way, the grape is called Spagna in northern Piedmont. These are earthy. There's fruit, but it's like not in your face. It's subtle fruit. It's dried fruit sometimes. They're wines that young, they almost don't even make sense. And I think that it's really important that if you're trying out Nebbiolos in these more expensive iterations, because the worst thing in the world is to spend a lot of money on a bottle of wine because your buddy told you, yeah, Barolo's really good, you'll really like it, and then buy it and be like, wow, this makes no sense because it's a Barolo from like 2016, which probably isn't even on the market yet, to be honest. But if you can find older iterations of these grander Nebbiolos, it might very well give you the wine revelation you've been searching for. They just are absolutely tremendous. So do be looking for those. Again, we'll go over those. Dolcetto, Barbera, very affordable, nice. Also Nebbiolo, you can find just plain Nebbiolo to kind of get an idea for, you know, between 15, 25, 30, 35 bucks. And then if you want to spend some money, Barolo, Barbaresco, Gattinara, things like that.
Barbaresco. Barbaresco.
Barbaresco. It's also just fun to say, yes. Right? Honestly. As we're running out of time, I did want to hit that we did have a tasting last Thursday with Guy Chaumont, the Burgundy producer. That was a lot of fun. He did his little junket through, and to anybody out there in Radio Land who showed up, thank you. It was very nicely attended. We also have our regular monthly tasting this Thursday, and we are going to be pulling some staff favorites from Italy, from the shelf, because, frankly, there's been a lot of really cool new wines that have come into the store that we haven't had easy ways of getting out there. So we're going to be popping some really cool, any fans of sort of interesting white wines, we're going to be bringing in some of those, excellent reds, and maybe even a pink or two, just because it's still summer, darn it.
Though you're thinking fall
I'm
in
thinking
the newsletter.
Fall, I know.
Anybody, I love that.
Anybody who was up Saturday night at like 3 o'clock with me, you know what I'm saying. It's around the corner. But that's okay, because there's nothing better. It's honestly, it's true. And then also a really nice wine of the week this week. Do come in and try that. That is another rosé from a good friend of mine from southeastern Spain, made out of the grape Bobal. So check that out as well on our newsletter. And if you don't get our newsletter, shame on you. You can sign up online. Go to bangorwine.com. Come out to the tasting this Thursday, 5 to 7, and we'll see you in the store.
Thank you, Eric.
Cheers.
Eric Mann of Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, Message in the Bottle. Every Tuesday, if you miss any of Eric's segments, easy to find them right on the website. Click right on the Message in the Bottle tab.